fine too.
Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we warned you.
Welcome to Hispanic Heritage Month, episode 3 of 3, curated by guest host Lewis Fowler. How are you, Lewis?
More like watch some monster movies with my fiends.
Ooh!
So we'll be talking about Profundo Carmesi. I think I got it right this time after 8 tries. We tried to record this the other day.
Profundo Carmesi.
Yeah, but it didn't work out so great because all our gear shit the bed. But that's deep crimson. What's that?
This praise a failure.
Yeah, I'm a failure. I'm a goddamn failure.
One job.
So that's Deep Crimson, which is like inspired by a real true crime story. So we'll get into that. Before that, Andy was gracious enough to volunteer to review Book of Monsters for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
So gracious.
Mm-hmm. I was supposed to do that, but that's another field that I failed in. So I'll be taking whatever movie we pick this week. And Amy is here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
how did Pretty Pill you, Amy?
Well, you know, that's for private time. Just kidding. He hasn't failed me in any way, shape, or form.
I haven't?
No.
That's a miracle.
Not this week, anyway.
Do you keep track or something?
Oh, yeah. I got a spreadsheet.
Oh, okay.
So
I want to see that sometime. Mm-hmm. Was it private?
No. Yeah.
Here's what you missed in the lost episode. We talked about Sid Haig.
It was gold. Gold.
It was pure gold.
Yeah.
We're very sad about the passing of Sid Haig.
Of course.
We all agreed he's a super nice guy. Mm-hmm. If you've been on the internet and you're a horror fan, you've probably heard 1,000 stories about him because he was so outgoing and kind. Also, we almost got into a physical altercation in a McDonald's.
Lewis got to hear all the detail. I don't know if I feel like telling it again, other than that I have a temper.
Yeah, well, let's keep it as a in joke only between us.
Yeah.
So when we're together, we'll laugh about it, and nobody will know what we're talking about.
But what's great is since then, somebody said, "Hold my beer," and a same McDonald's and another incident. It actually made the news because
somebody got their face busted in by a manager there.
Yeah, this person comes in and threw a sack of hamburgers at the manager at our McDonald's, which is literally like right behind our house.
Well, were they like regular hamburgers or like Big Macs? Because I'm sure the Big Macs might have hurt more.
I don't know. Yeah,
that might have like.
I wonder if they were McDoubles.
Yes. Very dense.
What if it was a McDLT? And when they threw it, the hot side and the cold side got put back together again.
Was this in a time machine?
We also talked about the Bloody Good Horror Spooktoberfest meetup we went to in Chicago over the weekend.
We saw our boys.
It was a great
and
time.
Girls.
A lot of really great listeners from the show were there. Monica.
Mm-hmm.
These are people we gave shout outs to in the lost episode. Mm-hmm. Adam. Lawyer Adam. Monica's husband's also Adam.
Too many Adams.
We got to meet John Shelton's wife, who we thought when we were first introduced was Schnarr's wife, but it was Shelton's wife.
No, what's this?
Or I did.
Thank you.
And then we came in second place in their trivia contest. Mm-hmm. We drank a whole lot. We ate a bunch of pizza, not even deep dish. We broke the rules. We went to a satanic pizzeria next door to Crown Liquors where the event was held. It was really a satanic pizzeria.
We visited the Friends Pop-Up in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And we had fun. Yeah.
And Andy had to order 69 at the Garrett Popcorn place, and he made everybody in the place give him a high five.
Just you, but you were very reluctant.
Andy ran all up and down in the itty-bitty little shop.
Andy's the type of guy who in 69 does things at first, then kind of stops halfway and rests his leg, rests his head on your leg while you're blowing him.
Gross.
It was like The Price is Right. I was running up and down the aisle like, oh.
$1.
And we also discussed the cure for cancer. We actually cured it, but yeah, it got lost in the recording.
And none of us remember. Struggle.
Yeah, so sorry.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, still sorry.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
But it's been, so much has happened in the news over the past week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the McDonald's incident.
McDonald's incident. The president's going to probably be impeached.
Yes.
Fuck that guy.
Impeach the motherfucker already.
Yeah. That's all good news.
Yeah.
If it pans out.
Yeah.
Which, well, nothing ever seems to.
We always seem to get disappointed. Robert Mueller.
Yeah. And then we'll be having the viewing party tonight.
Yeah.
We tried to plug in advance on the show, but we had no advance. So we're watching Flesh for Frankenstein on the NOTLP Discord server. If you're a patron, you have access to that. You also have access to, we did a Night of the Comic. We just recorded last night with special guests, Amy and Kelly.
Kelly!
We talked all about DC Universe and their television shows and all the crap that's on there. It was fun. And all that crap. Kelly's got the t-shirt, his rough draft of the t-shirt design for
it. Looks
Patreon.
So good.
It does look good. It's fun.
If you want to be a patron of the show, again, patreon.com/NOTLP if you'd like to support.
Mm-hmm. Support.
You don't have to, but if you want to.
At some point, we need to get our list together for the end of the show, which
we'll figure it out.
Tired, and I don't feel like pulling it up.
I can do it from memory.
Yeah?
I'm sure they know who they are.
Yeah? Lewis can do it.
I'm sure they know who they are. Yeah.
But do you know their social security numbers? Because I do.
I got their Visa numbers.
Do you have their blood type?
No, I don't have that.
Do you know your blood type?
You know, I don't know my blood type.
You should.
Is it? I'm O. It's universal.
Ah, you're the universal.
I'm O.
I'm an O positive.
Yeah.
Mine's gravy. Remember that old joke?
Yeah. Your mama's so fat, her blood type's gravy. I remember that.
Mine is B positive, but I really feel like that should be Mikey's.
Mm-hmm. Because he's always so positive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's teaching yoga tonight.
Yeah.
Yep. Ariel, hot. Hot Ariel.
Who knows?
Upside downsies.
Dingle hoppers.
Yeah. Lucy.
Does he teach regular yoga or hot yoga?
Yeah. Yeah. Hot.
The hottest of yogas.
So hot. So hard.
My coworker has a golden retriever puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Luna. She's the most darling thing in this whole wide world.
Oh,
I know, right? And Luna last week chewed up a wooden cooking spoon. You know what I'm talking about? And nobody realized
that's a Tweety Pie right there.
I know, but she's been like kind of like in and out of the emergency vet since, trying to figure out if she has any of this shit stuck in her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been visiting at work because she needs to be monitored all day.
Could you imagine if the wooden spoon she ate was one of those giant novelty ones that old people have in their kitchen?
Like the wooden fork and spoon on the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've had Luna at work for most of the week, and it has been the most delightful thing that ever happened to me. She's a little sweetie pie, but prayers up for Luna because she's still like hacking stuff up and still having issues.
Yeah.
You should toss some wooden spoons around the office.
I should.
So you can stay more often. You got like Munchausen by proxy.
Hey, eat this, Luna. Eat this.
You're like that lady that was in the act.
You're like the act for the dog act.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like Dee Dee Blanchard.
Oh, that dog's going to kill you.
I know. But
it'd be an adorable murder, though.
My coworker brought in donuts for everybody today. She's like, I really feel bad.
From
I
wanna, where?
I want Cervati.
Oh, that's a good one.
I know.
If you said Dunkin', I'd be like, fuck you.
She's I like, love Dunkin'.
She's like, I just really want to thank everybody for putting up with my dog and helping me out. And we're like, bitch, I should buy you donuts. Because Luna's a little schmumper bump.
Schmumper bump.
Her baby status.
Uh-huh.
Expensive baby right now. She had to have an endoscopy and x-rays and shit. But such a good baby.
Isn't your niece?
If I was in that office, I would have been giving that dog donuts every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I would have. And she'd be back in the hospital.
Isn't your niece's dog a retriever too?
Yeah.
He ate rocks.
He ate rocks and had to have surgery.
Apparently there's this whole thing with golden retrievers where they'll eat anything.
Well, labs too.
Over and over again.
Yeah, my dog, he died a year or so ago. he would eat anything you put in front of him. I mean, he, like, if you're eating a salad, he hates salad, but he would put it in his mouth and pretend to eat it and spit it out. Yeah. Just that way he could have whatever. He would eat anything. We'd go for walks, we went on the shore of the lake. He eats the dead fish that are like rotting on the shore. And loved it.
They just want to know what everything tastes like. And it's dangerous. Like, Millie used to do that shit, like, on our walks. I'd have to pull, like, because people would leave their, because I live in trash. I live in a trashy neighborhood.
I live in trash.
I'd have to pull, like.
She's Oscar the Grouch.
The trashy best spooking.
She tried to eat some lady's hair weave that was laying on the ground.
Yeah.
There were a pair of just underwear in the street I had to pull out of Millie's mouth. Like, we've been there.
She let her finish.
If Amy lives in trash, she's out to the garage. Millie's Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's my baby girl.
She is like Snuffleupagus.
Yeah.
Anything else for the top?
No.
What about for your bottoms?
I need a wipe.
Just kidding. We'll be right back with straight to video.
No, I'm averse. So.
Lilia Roshan. All right. Hey there, boys and girls. It's time for straight to video Russian roulette. I haven't recorded an actual official voiceover for this, so I hope you like this improvised one.
Oh, it's like the good old days with the soundboard.
You guys get a lot of mileage of the children cheering.
I do. It's one of my favorite sounds. I feel like it's like when Bozo the Clown was introducing, like, what prizes were going to be in the bucket game.
The grand prize game.
You'd be like, here's the Mambo Fruit Chew. And if you get down here, a crisp new $50 bill.
You know what? Those prizes were so dumb. But I so badly wanted to go to Chicago and be part of that studio audience.
Yeah.
It would look like
a grand prize game. Yeah.
Because we're precious little liberal snowflakes, in response to all of the mass shootings in this godforsaken country, no more straight to video Russian roulette gun noises.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on a new bumper.
Yeah, with a creepy Jack in the Box.
I think I do pitchfork stabbings.
It's all smotherings. It's a bloodless coup.
Yeah, what's the sound for smothering? Just
yeah. I don't know. We'll record you being smothered. And okay, that'll be perfect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what if there's a rash of smotherings across the country? Do we have to get a new bumper then?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. Yeah. This is exhausting.
It's really exhausting. Could be,
pitchfork stabbings.
McDonald's cooking equipment thrown at customers' face.
We just the sound of a coffee pot shattering over an angry customer's face.
Yeah.
Was the pot full of coffee?
I don't know.
Because that would be even worse.
And read it.
It was like Fast Times.
Yeah.
Remember when Spicoli threw the hot coffee? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or was it Spicoli that threw the coffee? No.
No, it was Brad.
Yeah, that's right. It was Brad, and Spicoli was like, radical dude. Basically.
Something like that. All right, Andy.
Hi, I reviewed Book of Monsters.
You haven't reviewed it yet. You watched it.
I watched it.
Thank you.
He hasn't reviewed it. Yeah. For Freddie, because he got it. So
thank you.
Like he said, I did it.
You're
gracious.
But God.
Was it bad?
I just can't remember because I'm so old and my memory's so bad.
The stills from it look
good. Was there a lady in it?
Okay. It is very 80s. It was like Night of the Demons ish.
Yeah. Somebody put a lipstick into their boob.
If only.
Yeah.
Okay.
But with monsters instead of demons.
I'm sorry?
Said it was monsters instead of demons.
With monsters instead of demons.
Okay. It's this chick. She has this old creepy book that her mom gave her that has all these illustrations and stuff. And when she was a kid, her mom would read from this book. And one day, this monster came from under the bed and got her mama.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So it's like little monsters.
Yeah, exactly. Except without the child touching.
Yeah.
No, getting started.
But the book was a Danielle Steele novel, wasn't it?
That's terrifying. That's a book of monsters. Fast forward, it's her 18th birthday, and she finds the book again. and somehow the monsters come to life, all the monsters from the book, at her like 18th birthday party. And it's very like Night of the Demons, are trapped in this house and all these just monsters attack them. So it was okay. It was fun.
It was a good enough time.
Low budget, so they had to use practical effects, which was kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's very 80s touch. And another 80s touch, it was old school, like, vicious bullying.
Ah. Somebody get called an F word?
Well, the main character is a lesbian, and the bully girl always caught her out on it. Yeah. And she hired a stripper, a male stripper, to go to her birthday party to, like, you know, convert her, I guess.
What a waste of money.
Yeah. So, like,
who likes male strippers?
Huh?
Male strippers?
Nobody.
Like, what you do, but, like, I find all stripping kind of gross.
Yeah.
It's just not my bag.
What about weather stripping?
Oh, that's so handy. Mm-hmm. Keeps the heat
in. I find all strippers main God's image and beautiful.
Thanks, Lewis. That's a good way to look at things.
If that's what you're into.
Yeah, if you're into that, but like I went to one strip club with Shazaka's bachelor party, and it was just not my scene.
Well, because it's women.
Yeah.
Also,
I've seen male strippers too at gay clubs, and I don't need some dongs shaking that, my face.
The strip club he's talking about served old style in cans off of like those little round serving trays, and it was like somebody's mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I said, like I missed like old school 80s bullying where it goes too far. Like.
Well, how much did she spend on that stripper? I mean, for crying
out loud. I don't know.
That's too far.
But the gore effects were just super over the top, which was really fun. And like otherwise, the plot's very thin. It's anorexic.
Mm-hmm.
Was
it English?
Yeah, it was English.
Yeah. So did everyone do it with their pinkies up, the bullying?
Classy. Classy bullying. I don't know if I recommend it.
Oh.
I mean...
You don't.
I don't know if like the positives outweigh the negatives.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like an hour and 20, but it felt longer.
Oh dear.
Yeah, but maybe because I was tired or something. But I don't know. Yeah, I'd say sure. Why not?
Sure. Give it a what?
I don't know.
I gave it 3 shrugs.
All right. You're allowed.
Yeah, I would like there were some good parts, but I don't know like. Aside from the monsters, it kind of the monsters weren't on screen, it dragged really a lot.
Then it was just book.
Yeah. It was just of.
Yeah.
And how do you show of on screen? You don't. You can't.
Yeah, it's unfilmable, mm-hmm. Like boring. Lovecraft.
Yeah. And like, it was the effects were uneven. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. I don't see how like garden gnomes are scary.
Oh, that's adorable, though.
It's cute.
You obviously haven't seen this terrifying movie called Goosebumps.
Yeah, that's right. Goosebumps.
Goosebumps?
So did it have like a song written for the movie about the Book of Monsters? That was just a like parody?
Who wrote the Book of
Monsters? Yeah. I was waiting for that. I knew it was coming.
It kind of has to.
Y'all are so predictable.
I know.
We got dad jokes.
We're nothing if not predictable.
Yeah.
I like if you turn on the subtitles, the Spanish version, the song's the Book of Monsters.
Where do you get the Book of Monsters? At La Biblioteca.
That means library.
Thank you.
La Biblioteca del Diablo.
Oh, shit. The Devil's Library.
So, yeah. So, yeah, you're saying maybe give it a go?
Sure,
or,
yeah.
I mean, if you're in the mood for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Do I have to watch it?
It felt, maybe if I watched it like a week later when it was actually spooky season,
yeah,
I would have been more in the mood. Because it's very...
What if you watched it like November 13th?
No. You have to wait a couple months
until
the cycle comes around again.
If you want the $20, you have to watch it, though.
Okay.
Otherwise, you can't have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like it was very Halloween-y.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a week later, I would have been more in the mood. Like, yeah.
So like an A for effort, mm-hmm. then.
The leaves are turning a little.
Mm-hmm. All right, Amy.
It's 95 degrees outside.
Do you think you watch it every Halloween like a tradition?
Huh?
Would you watch this
every Halloween? Oh, no. There's like okay. Many, there's too many good movies out there.
Yeah.
And this isn't one of them.
No.
Doesn't sound like it.
It has a fun poster, at least.
There's plenty of okay movies out there, and this is one of them, right?
Yeah, it's just, it's all right. Let's put it that way.
Of all the movies released this year, this was one of them?
Yep.
So, Amy, what am I watching next week?
All right, since Freddy dodged his bullet, mm-hmm. it's his, nope, no bullets, since Freddy didn't
his hug. He dodged his hug.
I dodged my hug. My smothering.
It's time to
I
hug.
Slipped out from under my pillow.
We're not going to jack in the box anybody.
You going to jack me?
No, well, the movie is called Headcount. It can be found on Netflix.
Sounds familiar.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Have we done it before?
No, I think the company contacted us a while ago.
A group of college students on a weekend getaway accidentally summon a supernatural entity intent on using them for its deadly ritual.
Fun.
Headcount.
Who do you think who is the daily ritual? The resurrected demon or the kids?
Their daily ritual is all mixed. Like, they're like, oh, man, I was going to make my avocado toast, and I forgot. Now I got to get some out of the vending machine, and I'm going to, you know, a minute.
And it's a demon.
So it's deadly.
So it's demon avocado toast.
So head count. All right. You want to play along, listener? It's on Netflix.
I'm interested because the director of this, she worked on Wonder Woman.
You've seen everything.
But, you know, she's been in smaller capacities, worked on some pretty good stuff.
Okay.
So maybe she picked up some fun tips and hints along the way from the big time directors and such.
Hopefully they're male directors.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Andy. We'll be right back.
Misogyny is hilarious.
Deep crimson right after this, baby. This week's main attraction from 1996, Deep Crimson, inspired by the Honeymoon Killers. So, what inspired this pick, Lewis?
Wow. Well, I'm a big fan of Arturo Ripstein. I like his work, and we've done one of his films on the show a couple of years ago, La Tia Alejandra, which I think was like mixed from you guys.
I really like that movie.
He's definitely got a strange style and strange storytelling ability about himself. And, you know, this film, I've owned it for a while now. Haven't had a chance to watch it and just use this opportunity to watch it. So, I mean, I liked it a lot. I thought it was really a pretty good little thriller procedural kind of movie. And it's been remade twice already since this one came out. It was remade about 2 or 3 years ago with George Travolta and Salma Hayek, if you can believe that.
Really?
No, Salma Hayek and John Travolta.
Oh, John Travolta. I thought you said George Lopez. Sorry.
I don't see them together.
Yeah, behind the killer.
Did Travolta have the whole toupee situation?
That's good casting, though.
Yeah. I could see him doing that.
I forget the movie. Oh, it's called The Love Killers, or I forget what it's called. But, I mean, it's a really popular story that happened in the 1930s or 40s when the Lonely Hearts personal ad where you wrote to people, and it was very popular. And this movie's kind of a take on that with a woman who's a nurse with two kids. She falls for this guy who is kind of a real sleazebag. I mean, he seems like he goes from woman to woman, you know, and judges them writing on the back of their picture no or yes. And
it's like Tinder.
And he steals from them.
He's like swipe right on them.
Yeah. It's like show Tinder. And so she basically comes to his house, begs to stay with them. She freaking gets rid of her kids. She takes her kids to an orphanage.
Yeah.
That was a rough sequence.
I feel that's probably what I would do if I was a dad too.
It was extra sad, though, because she had raised them to be like, you know, they were like first grade aged kids, And it was just that classic thing of she would rather be with this man who she thinks the only thing standing between them being together are these kids.
And then they get together, and then they decide to pull the scam on other women. And of course, it leads to a murder. There's about 3 or 4 murders in it. And the ending's very shocker, the way the cops take him out to the... you saw the ending too, right?
Yeah, like, they're like, we don't have anywhere to keep you.
Yeah.
Right. So instead of a trial and all this, we're just going to take you out on the road and shoot you as you're running away. And I'm like, okay.
I don't even think they ran away. I think they were just staying there.
They were just walking and talking.
Yeah, she started to run, and Nicolas or whatever. Nicolas was like, don't run. This is going to happen regardless. Let's just spend these last moments together. Because he had really fallen in love with her.
Well, they had a very weird... I mean, both of them are severely mentally ill in some way. In many ways. she is so desperate to have somebody love her.
Because she has bad breath.
Because she's fat and she smells bad. Which is what everybody keeps telling her.
I thought that I thought that was kind of funny. How it was like a kind of a running joke throughout the whole movie.
How she smells
and how she's fat. Not like fat jokes are funny, but
it was weird.
Upfront about it they were.
Yeah, it was just rudeness.
And the thing is, too, I really didn't think that she was all that fat at all.
No.
Well, that was not fat by today's standards.
She's Hollywood fat.
In the 30s, though, you know, when everybody was struggling to feed themselves,
like he finds her. Through the Lonely Hearts, he comes over to her house. She immediately is too much. He's like, well, I'll bang you.
But he also says a woman should steep in her juices.
Yeah, he's like, don't worry about it.
Don't cover up your stank. I like your stank.
And then he sleeps with her, steals her money and leaves. She's like, well, that sucks, but he probably loves me. So she takes her whole family and finds him and shows up at his place. And he's like,
she was going to move in with the kids with him. But then he was like, nah. And then,
heck yeah, nah.
And then she was like, I'm getting rid of my kids for you. Like, problem solved.
He's like, you can't tie this bachelor down. I'm a free bird.
But what she does is go through all of his shit while he's gone.
Yeah.
And finds out what he's been doing. And she's like, I can help you.
Right.
I can help you make this better and really rip off and screw with some women.
By posing as your sister.
Yeah. But he's like, I really didn't want to be with you. But now that you said this, all right, let's do this.
And I think it becomes an actual love, you know, kind of relationship when she discovers that he wears the hairpiece, and when his hairpiece is destroyed, she makes a new one for him from her own hair. It's very gift of the Magi. And he's so touched by that. I think from that point on, he truly loves her.
As much as he could, or both of them are so damaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was rough. Like, it was just... Because you hear about these stories, you know, the way I consume crime, true crime stories, is very much from the point of view of law. The law enforcement and everything, and kind of trying to understand. And this was just purely watching them do it. They're fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sick. They're so sick.
Well, the first time, the first murder is basically out of jealousy, where she kills their mark because they're dancing together in the bar. So she puts a bunch of rat poison in her drink, and they leave her for dead at the bus or the train station. And that's murder one.
That lady was great.
She was the actor.
Yeah, the actress, she goes on this very long monologue, which is a very long scene. I don't think there were many cuts in it, where she's kind of like bopping around this empty bar with them, getting drinks and telling her story about being married to this man who keeps her locked up and so on and so forth.
Right. And you get the impression she married this man because he was well off, but maybe there was something going on, but now their relationship is more or less dried up. whatever sexual romantic elements that were there gone.
What?
Just means dried up, like so would be.
So she's ready to get some Nicolas in her life. You know what I mean? Some of that dick.
But it's amazing how all the women in this movie are so eager to be with this guy.
Yeah, because he looks like that movie star character. Or so.
I mean, within one day, they want to marry him and give them all his money, give him all their money.
Yeah.
What an amazing power that must be to have.
Would that be your thing if you were like, yeah, would you be one of those gold digging gigolos?
If I could have any superpower, it would be the power of being a good gigolo.
You'd like to bang old ladies and cash in?
Well, he didn't have to bang them. He just had to romance them.
So what do you get? You get flight, invisibility,
or grifting.
Or bang old ladies and get all their money.
It's the grifter.
Well, number one, I bang old ladies for free. That's not the issue.
It's just funny.
So there's any old ladies out there listening who need a date. Contact me.
Yeah, DM them on Twitter at Lewis Fowler.
65 plus, please.
You can rob the 41-year-old cradle.
You don't mean 55 plus, you mean 55 or better.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they like to say for the senior meals and certain restaurants. Uh-huh. I was watching the Golden Girls pilot the other day. Yesterday.
Talk about sexy older women.
Well, so the first episode is Blanche is going to get married to this guy she's only known a little while. And, you know, like Rose and Dorothy are like, where are we going to go? Whatever. But at the end, he doesn't show up because he got arrested because he's married to like five other women because he's a fucking grifter. He's out there trying to get women and their money. This is this movie.
That is some funny Golden Girls turn of events right there.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about Golden Girls? When I was younger, I thought they were like in their 70s or 80s.
No.
During the show, they were just like in their early 50s.
Late 50s.
It turned out they were just in the late 30s.
Yeah. That's how it was.
Lewis, isn't Rue McClanahan your cousin or something?
Yeah, she's related to me, yeah.
Yeah.
Like third or fourth cousin down removed or something. Yeah, she is, though. And I feel really weird about it because I think I might have masturbated to her once.
Well, you said third or fourth, so you're okay.
Once you're past like second, I think you're fine. Right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to have weird babies.
I think that's where the law decides.
Well, she probably can't have babies anyway, so.
Well, she's dead, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Even back then.
Rest in peace, Rue.
So back to the movie. Yes, so they're grifting, but then crazy old, what's her name again?
Coral.
She gets too jealous and kills the one, and then, killed another one.
Well, the second one they take advantage of. She's a very religious Catholic woman, and her neighbor, who is like an atheistic Jewish character, is like, immediately has them pegged for what they are. And she's like, don't trust these two. What the fuck is wrong with you? And she's like, oh, shut up, Shayla, you whatever, and go next door.
Shayla for Mexico.
So she ends up kind of taking Nicolas in as like almost a spiritual advisor in some ways. And
he's posing as a pastor of a church.
Right. They say that what they're doing, some sort of charity work.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he begins to weasel his way in. And this whole time she believes that Coral is Nicolas's sister.
Yeah.
And but then eventually on their honeymoon, when he doesn't want to do the deed.
Consummate.
Thank you. Consummate.
Coral viciously kills her.
She does.
Rough.
Because, also she walks in on him and Coral together and she's like, oh, Jesus, save these people. Save these people. They are brother and sister and they are diddling. He's not a Christian. She has a whole meltdown and then they beat her to death. Yeah, what does she beat her with?
Statue of Mary.
Yeah, the Virgin Mary statue.
Yeah, Coral comes up behind her and hits her over the head with it.
Yeah, she's like, what's the most ironic thing I can kill this lady with?
I have to say, like Amy was saying, like watching all these deaths was really rough because they were portrayed so realistically.
That was the thing. It's like totally you're in their world and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, you don't see any blood, but you just see her bashing her, the old lady over and over. With a statue, and the sound of it was just so too real for me sometimes.
Well, I love the follow-up sequence to that, because Coral was a nurse. She had experience working in morgues and stuff. And they set the corpse up until rigor mortis sets in, I presume to make her easier to move or something.
So they can put her in the car and it looks like they're leaving together and she's perfectly, they weaken to Bernie's her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so there's that whole sequence of her sitting and just making sure her body doesn't fall over. And yeah. And Nicholas is probably not naturally a killer.
No, I don't think so.
Unless
you fuck with his toupee.
Right.
He's a lady killer.
Oh, yeah. He slays the pussy. You know?
Just say, he's a pussy killer.
You're gonna destroy some baby.
We don't have to.
So then they move on to this third, because the rule of threes, you know, is where all the magic happens in storytelling. The third one, this one's just right. She's a young mother. She may have some money. Now, this one, interestingly enough, Coral chose.
Mm-hmm.
Yet she represents probably the most competition for Nicholas's affection.
She's younger.
Well, he does leave her too. He leaves Coral for her.
Yeah, but he kind of claimed, and I almost bought too, that it was part of the long con, that he felt like he had to go through all of these motions.
Right.
But at the same time, I think he was realizing
he was kind of falling for the new lady.
I think he was realizing that he kind of liked being a daddy too.
Yeah, and Coral kind of sees it happening and she loses her shit and she leaves.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, Nico has wormed his way in to the lady's bed and knocked her up.
Lewis stepped away from his microphone in case you're wondering, Amy.
Okay. I'll just keep going then. So he knocks her up, but Coral comes back because he's been riding her. How did he know where to find? Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm not in charge here. She comes back. Coral comes back and she's like, well, I can perform the abortion.
Right.
But I don't think she had any intention on doing that.
No, she basically feeds her a bunch of anticoagulants so that
she'll bleed out.
She'll bleed to death.
Yeah.
And she comes out of the room and she's like, shouldn't take much longer. He knew what was happening.
Right.
But
it wasn't really effective. So they ended up stabbing her to death.
Oh, it was awful.
And then drowning the little girl in the bathtub.
Yeah, because they didn't know what to do with her.
Thank God we didn't see that. But we saw the leading up to it. We knew it was coming, but...
Right.
The whole sequence between the stabbing, just because it was over, it was like a little knife too.
Yeah.
And it was just over and over again. Like I said, like all the other deaths were portrayed so realistically. Like in other horror movies, you see them like stab with the knife and they like die right away.
Right.
But this one, you know, I think it's probably like how real life is. You don't die right away from a stab.
The little girl screaming the whole time. I mean, it was really a rough scene.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that they end up really getting screwed on here. So, you know, clearly this one's a little too hard to cover up.
Yeah. So what was interesting, you know, everybody's dead now in the house and Coral's having her. Is that a cat?
I hope it's a cat.
Is that your kitty, is that your kitty cat, Lewis?
It's a chair.
Oh. Maybe there's a cat in it. Did you sit on a cat?
Check for a cat.
Is this stuff with cats?
No, but there's a duck down here.
Just a duck.
So, go ahead, Amy.
I think they, for whatever shred of humanity they have left, I think they kind of realize this is it. Like, we cannot.
They crossed the line.
When
they killed the kid, I think.
Mm. And he's like, I'm gonna do it. And so he calls the police, and they come and get them. And then one of the silliest, saddest scenes, in addition to all the silly, sad scenes, was him in the police station, begging to be able to put his toupee back on.
Right.
And they're like, nah.
Because the cameras.
Yeah,
I'm sure the camera's going to be coming tomorrow.
Yeah, the press and everything, and he didn't want to be photographed.
That was a great exchange, especially when it begins to dawn on him. He's like, don't worry, there's not going to be a trial. There's not going to be any press.
Yeah.
He's like, oh. And then he starts begging for them to spare to spare her, I think, I know, right? But she's eating somebody's lunch.
She ate that poor cleaning lady's sandwich.
Well, she offered, but she was like, don't offer a fat lady your meal because she's going to eat it all.
Let that be a lesson to you.
And anything she leaves is going to smell bad.
Did you breathe on this? Did you breathe on my lunch? I'm pretty sure this banana wasn't black when I packed it.
I felt bad. I really did feel bad for Coral. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's like she worked at a hospital, so she breathed in the morgue. So she breathed in, you know, the formaldehyde all the time, and that's what gave her bad breath. It's the 1930s. They don't have anything to deal with that, you know, except pure, you know, alcohol and cocaine. You know, and she's moderately overweight. Which, like you said, 1930s, so people are highly judgmental about that. I mean, and she's so desperate to someone to love her, she has these insane extremes. I mean, I really felt bad for her. I mean, I kind of understood what she was doing. The guy, I thought, was the real kind of jerk who took advantage of her, you know? And sure, yes, he eventually did over the course of the film fall in love with her, but still, I mean, I think she was just so, and Amy's right, she was mentally ill, kind of obsessive, sociopathic, but I believe that a lot of it was just because, like, she was really looking for someone to love her in the condition she's in.
Yeah, and it's so tragic, though, that her kids did love her. And she left, and you know what I mean? Like, she kind of had, she was looking for love in all the wrong places, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Looking for love.
I mean, she wanted romantic love, you know?
Right.
And I can understand her predicament. I mean, you know, I think that probably, I would thought about her backstory a little. I think that probably she was married to someone and he wanted a kid, so she gave him to him. But he left.
Because she was stinking.
And so she was stuck with kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Or she killed him.
Well, either way. So, I think that's probably why she was never really that, had that much of a motherly instinct to the kids. She apologized to the little girl at the beginning for getting mad at her. But, I mean, like, you know, a lot of times, she pretends they don't even exist. She wants somebody to stay very quiet. Because, you know, the girl even says, well, stay quiet, Mom. We won't bother you. You know? I think that it was kind of a... I'm sorry, I forgot what I was trying to say.
She was
sympathetic in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, sympathetic. Yeah.
She had been fucked over probably a lot in her life. Mm-hmm. Had not been raised with any coping skills. So, I mean, obviously that'll happen a lot, and, you know, people can turn out to be monsters or not. Mm-hmm. She turned out to be a monster.
Yeah. You kind of get that impression when she sexually assaults one of her patients in the first act.
Yeah.
Where she's like, have a titty,
have a titty,
whether you want it or not, you're going to have a titty.
You know what? Over the past year, I've had numerous nurses, lots of them. No one ever offered me a titty once.
No fair.
When I was in the hospital, I literally had to bathe in front of two sexy nurses naked. Never once did they offer a titty to hold, to squeeze, to suckle on, nothing.
This healthcare system's falling apart. How rude.
Thanks, Obama.
Andy researched the real case. I assume Lewis probably knows a lot of this too, but Andy,
it's pretty spot on, actually.
Yeah, except for the way they're executed, right?
Yeah, they were electrocuted, but in this one, they were given a chance to run off and die together, which is kind of romantic in a fucked up way.
Very fucked up. Don't aspire to that.
Did you like? Did you want, like, you know, the love toilet from SNL where? They get the whole, was it like there could have been like a love electric chair?
I think I would rather be shot in the back than electrocuted.
Yeah, maybe.
But
yeah,
they got to die together, which is kind of sweet.
Right?
Yeah.
But like,
I'd be electrocuted, they'd come back as a shocker.
There'd be two of them together and they're still just doing the same shit. Like, you guys are still scamming old ladies, but you can move through televisions.
move through episodes of Golden Girls.
Or yeah. CSI or something.
CSI. NCIS.
They turn up trying to seduce Jessica Fletcher. Yeah. She figures it out.
But it was just a sad movie all around between like even the killers, like Coral and Nicholas. Mm-hmm. Like they were so broken.
Yeah.
But they, in a way, they found each other and found love, and the people they were like preying on. The desperation they had too was just so heartbreaking.
I was thinking about how this movie could be easily updated and remade today.
Yeah.
You know, like Annie was saying about Tinder or whatever. You know, there's so many lonely, sad people in this world. It probably even more now than ever.
Catfish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I really think this movie could be remade, you know, very well, very easily.
Lewis, have you seen Sightseers?
Is that a movie by, what's his name?
I'm sure his name was something. It's similar to this. It's an English movie or Scottish maybe.
Right. Yeah. It's the guy who did, another movie of,
Ben Wheatley who did it.
Ben Wheatley. Yeah. Ben Wheatley. Yeah.
Who did Kill List, which is also fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
But, if you like this film, yeah, definitely Sightseers is something I would recommend too.
I did think that
if you like this movie, I really recommend the first episode of Golden Girls.
But She Lives.
And if you love the first episode of Golden Girls, you definitely have to check out Empty Nest.
I was thinking it was easier
if
to
you like Empty Nest.
Golden Palace. You check out
Nurses.
The show of recommendations, man.
No, it's all the spin-offs. His scam originally worked so well at a time when you can't Google somebody. You can't do a Google image reverse image search. You haven't seen Catfish. Mm-hmm. It was easy to do back then. It is harder to do grand murders like this.
It was
this.
The golden age of murder.
Yeah.
It was so easy. There's no forensics.
All the way through the 70s.
Wow. And she gave her children away so easily.
Yeah.
She just went to the church like, here's some kids. Bye.
Later.
You know, Andy pointed something out. And I kind of had the same thought when we were watching it, that it really looks a lot like the first few seasons of Tales from the Crypt, the way it's filmed. And the subject matter also kind of feels like Tales from the Crypt until it gets a little too real.
Yeah, I love
it. Kind of done Tales from the Crypt too, Deep Crimson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like how it was filmed. It was very intimate, the mm-hmm. way it was filmed.
It's hard to be intimate with people like that. But I enjoyed the movie. It kept my attention the whole time. Yeah. But it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's something that people, if you're into feeling bad.
Yeah. When you hear some more fucked up shit.
Yeah.
I can see how they can get roped into these things. Just relatable. How like she thinks she finally found love.
It's because you have such low self-esteem.
Yeah. And I feel like I could be easily convinced to be in a murder spree couple.
Yeah, that's wow. why. That's why I need to be involved in all of your decisions. Well,
it's like she finally found, like, in her mind, some validation, and she would do anything to keep it, even though like it's obsessive, and she got really jealous. And same thing with him; he was broken too, and he finally found somebody that loved him in spite of his perceived flaws.
Andy, can I have power of attorney over you?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
What if the end credits started rolling?
Just give me some compliments and I'll give you anything.
And it was like, now that we found love, what are we gonna do with it?
Die.
Yeah. Murder spree.
Yeah, I'm just very easy. Just give me some compliments and validation. I'll like do anything probably.
Anything?
That's sad. Listeners, don't believe that. And even if you do, don't try to hurt him. And I'll be watching.
Well, if you need somebody killed and you want a partner, let
me
know.
Andy, we have already discussed this. You are my murder partner.
I'm not your murder partner. I'm your cover-up.
You wouldn't help me murder?
No, I know
I know you're my alibi and you're going to help me clean it up.
No, you always,
they're talking about my dead body.
I said
right
I
now.
Wouldn't help you kill him, but I would help you cover up the murder.
Of my husband.
Yes.
This has come up so frequently.
Well, think about what you do then.
And now it's on tape, so thank you for that technology.
Please, I could never kill you because I watch Dateline. I understand how this works. They always go to the spouse.
The thing
so she's the way for you to die naturally.
Yeah.
Once more popcorn, Freddy? What's some more fried chicken?
With some rat poison? It's hard to kill people now.
Yeah.
Did we look at the spouse who said repeatedly on tape that she wanted to kill him and the friend who agreed to help hide the remains?
Well, here's the thing. Me and Amy talk about this all the time. I expect a text around 4 o'clock in the morning and I already know what's going on.
I was going to say, it's time.
Yeah. And then I can't say no because she already wrote me in. Yeah,
maybe if I do die of natural causes, you guys should just go through with it anyway, just for the drama of it.
And I don't want to lose two friends. I lost Freddie already. I don't want to see Amy go to jail.
Yeah.
Andy, you should start dating a guy who works for the medical examiner's office. Yes. So he can fudge the paperwork for you.
Yes. Andy. Let's get in on this.
Ooh, it's a long con.
Yeah, I like it.
I think my hearing is getting much worse or I'm having a hard time understanding Skype.
He said he needs to date a guy that works for the medical examiner's office.
Oh, that makes sense. And now another twist. Can you believe he was dating a man from the medical examiner's office?
Now we've roped Lewis in.
Yeah. You're in, buddy. Everybody listening to this, you're all with us.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Lewis, I think this was another successful Hispanic Heritage Month /Latino.
It's the best one.
So everybody likes deep crimson, basically.
I think it's the best one we've seen so far this month.
It was a really good month.
Let's recap.
Yeah.
We started with
The Thing About Pam.
Terror 5, which was really, really fun and had some of the best visuals I've seen in a while.
I love an anthology.
Mm-hmm. And I love an anthology. Then we had Everly, which was a joy as well.
So fucking good.
Titties.
Titties. Not real, you didn't see them, but boy, were they there.
And then this little gem. They're all so different. Each film this month was so different from one another. It was a nice variety. So thank you.
Next year, nothing but absolute crap.
Oh, I'm excited. I love crap too.
How dare you?
I'm one of those kids that just says, shovel it in, sir.
One of those
shovel
kids?
It in my butthole.
Where are these kids?
You know the kind.
Oh, okay.
The thing about these kids.
We're obsessed with The Thing About Pam, which is Dateline's new podcast series. And it is so good.
Is Pam the victim?
No.
Oh.
See, that's the thing about
what a twist.
Keith Morrison narrates it.
She's so good for baking because
the thing about Pam is it's lower fat than butter.
Nothing sticks to her.
Well, and that's part of the problem here.
I'm rubber and you're Pam. So things bounce off of me, and then they slide off of you.
It's like we can't get these charges to stick.
All right.
Baking jokes.
My beautiful listeners, at the end of every show, we always say hi to our Beelzebubs. Again, patreon.com/NOTLP.
Yeah, Ernie.
Ernie.
Love you, Ernie.
Hi, Ernie.
Hey, Ernie. Hey, Ernie, where's Bird?
Yeah.
Rubber ducky, you're the one. Brandon and Emily.
The thing about Brandon and
the
Emily.
The thing about Brandon. Jeff.
Hey, hey, Brandon. Hey, Brandon. I like your brand of yogurt.
Oh, boy. Jimmy B.
Jimmy.
Jeremy.
Hey, Jimmy B. Hey, Jimmy B. I like your brand of breakfast sausage.
Yeah.
Jimmy B's. Jeremy Burmeister. Ooh, that's a tough one, right?
That's my
Burmeister, Meister in the Burr. Yeah.
That's Jeremy and Cassie and Gamora.
Gamora, of course.
They always give credit to their dog, too.
Yeah.
Amanda.
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 Ah.
You got you, girl.
Tree and Alex.
Hey, dudes.
Brandon Boone, out on the road.
Yeah.
He's overseas right now, isn't he?
They're doing North America right now. That's the No Sleep podcast tour.
Brandon Boone was a man. He was a big man.
Bill.
Hi, Bill.
In New York, Blake.
My name is Bill W. I'm an alcoholic.
We're friends of Bill, not W, Bill
F. We're friends of Bill F.
Yeah.
Blake, who we made a special video for at the BGH meetup.
Might have been a little drunk. Don't remember what happened, but Blake, I hope you liked it.
Yeah. We missed your break.
Hey, Blake, how's Ride Rails?
How's what? Riding the rails?
Hey, Blake, how's Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds.
Riding the rails.
With Ryan Reynolds.
Riding the rails.
And how's Ryan? That's Ryan the rails.
Well, I can't wait till she dies and the headline is Blake Not So Lively.
Oh, you can't wait. Like the New York Post, you think that's what they're going to do?
Yeah.
Wow, you're a monster.
Or when Ryan Reynolds dies, it'll be like, really Deadpool.
What if they die together? That'd be awesome.
Oh.
The headlines, can you imagine? Jesus. I don't want them to die, but I'm just looking. I'm like trying to find the silver lining.
Sure.
I see. Mark Watts.
What's up?
Damn it. You beat me to that one.
And finally, Elise.
Hey, girl. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, Elise. I liked your character on Moonlighting.
Some fly by night. Some fly by day. Moonlighting stranger.
Moonlight stranger.
Who just met on the way. Who just met on the way.
What if that was just the whole podcast? That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Do you want to join us for feedback next week, Lewis, and news?
Sure.
All right. Sure. Well, tune back in. And by next week, I mean a week from... Well, we'll do it in the middle of the week sometime. We'll figure this out off air because you wanted to take Sunday off.
No, I didn't. Or did we?
Are we doing it on this Sunday?
Doesn't matter. We'll figure it out. We'll let you know, listener. Yeah.
You don't need to hear this, right?
Okay. Yeah, Lewis, we're...
You should do bonus content of a show prep.
Yeah, we should.
People would love that.
We're like, you guys think should we go with the the high pass filter on this particular channel this week?
You can find Lewis.
Yeah,
I know this by now. At Lewis Fowler on Twitter, LouisFowler.
And there's links to all of his work there.
Yeah. Did we do good?
Yeah, I can't believe you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard.
I've always said about 27 times here.
it's your name and stuff. So
we're going to go get set up for our Flesh for Frankenstein viewing party. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Lewis Fowler.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank Amy. You. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, India.
Thank you, me. Sometimes you just got to thank yourself.
Just love me.